TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Wagon, 30-16 win over the Bears, 28-6 over the Dolphins, 27-19 over the Vikings, 23-16 over the Browns, 23-10 against the Jets. Have not given up more than 19 points in a game, and have started by, not that I consider this the be-all end-all, I think you know that, have forced at least one turnover in every one of those games, so six straight now that they're riding a streak of turnovers forced.
You know what the Steelers keep doing to people during this, and it's not really like a truly a collapse because they've played 500 football, and the Ravens just haven't lost, and to their credit, they've played bad teams, and they've won those games. Now, it hasn't been an impressive fashion. They needed Shedeur Sanders to come off the bench for the Browns and look like garbage last week, and they needed a game against the Jets to win yesterday. They were down 7-3 at the half. It was... like they like to call it in hockey, a low-event game. It was about as low-event football as you'll find in the NFL.
Jackson is very nondescript. If you have a Lamar Jackson-led fantasy team, you are in shambles right now. They're basically leaning on Derrick Henry.
And one of my 34 fantasy teams does have Lamar Jackson.
Do you
Jackson
even have a chance
right
to get like emotionally invested in any of these teams? I would just look at it like a balance sheet at a big company.
What the Steelers have done, though, this year for a lot of people is we have this, like, I'm trying to find a word that I can use on the air here that's appropriate without getting in trouble.
Well, it's already good if all the words you would otherwise use are not FCC suitable. That must be good.
They're causing their fans to have this bipolar reaction to things where today it's all about this team sucks. They stink. Tomlin should be out. Art Rooney is asleep at the wheel. It's so old and stale, it's not even funny. All of these natural reactions to what happens when you are barely above 500, out of the playoff race, and you're in going on year nine of a playoff drought.
Correct.
But the thing is, they keep tricking people. They win a game.
They're hoodwinking
people. And then people get back on. They beat the Colts. Okay. They're going to go to the Chargers and win. No.
We suck.
Aaron Rodgers plays his worst game ever there. The next day, Rodgers is cooked. The team stinks. They're done. They play the Bengals. They, for the most part, take care of business. They weren't dominant, but they did a lot on defense. They shut Jamar Chase down. Mason came off the bench and looked good.
They got the Tomlin recipe. They had two defensive scores.
They get people all week saying, hey, the Bears aren't actually that good. Look at the Bears' record. We can beat these guys.
They had people like Donnie convinced they'd win in PM team picks. Not these two gumshoes in here, though, my
Donnie,
friend.
Donnie, I'm not saying this at all. I'm not like trying to like bust your balls here. I'm saying you are, he might be. I'm saying I think this is a symptom of the fan base, and you happen to be a part of it. This back and forth where they win a game and it gets you to thinking, oh, the team they're playing's not that good. The Chargers don't have offensive tackles. The Bears don't have linebackers. And Steelers fans talk themselves into thinking like, okay, this team's got a shot here. I mean, I was even saying it last week. Look at the rest of the AFC. If they win this game in Chicago, they don't look that bad anymore. And then they lose in like...
How many teams to your point
the
here
amount
that you're
of deflation that takes place with fans where they tried to... They built themselves back up and boom! After a three-hour game, they're right back to saying things like, blow it all up. I'm sick of watching this.
Where do you think they rank in the AFC, right? They're the eighth team on like Sports Reference when you just sort it that way.
Yeah.
I think at best, they're the 10th best team in the conference.
And here's what'll happen. They'll beat the Bills on Sunday. They'll, you know, have Josh Allen running for his life. And we'll be here all next week, and people will say, Baltimore's not that good. We own Lamar Jackson. We can easily go there and win.
They haven't been the same Baltimore this year.
This team has cast a spell on a lot of its fans because of their up and down nature all season. And I get it. A lot of NFL teams are like that. The Steelers are not completely
unique. They are very mercurial, though.
But it's because of what's happened the last few years that the reaction is so pronounced here anytime they lose, because Mike Tomlin has not given you a reason in a long time to trust him after a loss like this to right the ship for more than just a week or two.
I mean, I'm in a group chat, Donnie, on Twitter, like a DM chat with a bunch of Steelers fans who I know. And after every win or loss, it either changes to Steelers chat, we are so back after a win, and then Steelers chat, it's so over. Somebody does it every time, and that is what Pony is describing to a T.
Do you disagree with my summation of things?
No. And I don't mind the ball busting, because I was the one that stood strong proudly that the Ravens would, in fact, catch the Steelers.
Yeah.
You did. You were resolute.
And they did. And they did it even quicker than I thought they would, because if the season ended today, who's in and who's out? It ain't the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And yet again, start to queue up your Steely Dan records. They're going to have to rely on everybody else, like Joe Burrow on Thursday night, for instance, to begin doing their dirty work down the stretch. That being said, no, I mean, it's the definition of a team that's painfully average. And I think it's worse with us, worse with the Steelers, and worse with this fan base, because it has been this way for the better part of a decade. That's why it is such a high when they actually beat a good team, and it is so low anytime they lose a game, because we just know the final destination will be the same exact thing that it's been since the end of that 2016 season.
But we just said last week the teams around them are not that good.
Yeah, but they're not that good
right.
either. Like, they really suck,
Steelers,
and they don't have a proven quarterback some of those teams.
The Steelers individually are the same.
Well, wait a minute, Chris.
It just happens to be that the rest of the AFC is also playing at a very average level.
I trust almost every quarterback for any team with their record or better more than trust whatever they got.
They do have a proven quarterback. The problem is he's too proven.
The current version of him...
He's too old.
...is way too old. I'm talking about in real time. The Bills have lots of problems.
Yes.
I still trust Josh Allen.
Correct.
The Patriots are 10-2. I think Drake May is going to be an MVP much sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Not a bold take. The Ravens are 6-5 on a 5-game winning streak, and Lamar looks dinged up. I still trust him more than Rodgers.
Okay.
Jacksonville, I don't know what the hell to make of them.
You can't say that.
They're one of the few teams I wouldn't mind seeing. Kansas City's on the outside looking in. I think they are charging.
Yes, you're also skipping over two teams with better records than them, though, because you have a harder time with those two teams.
I think if they played
the Colts and Broncos,
I think if they played the Colts in Indy,
Bo Nix and Daniel Jones.
If they played the Colts in Indy, I think Daniel Jones would carve them up. And if they played the Broncos in Denver,
you could say Mile High.
Mile High, yeah. I think that would be Mike Tomlin's favorite game. One team's a bag of hammers. The other team's a box of rocks. Who's going to win? I also still trust Herbert more than I trust anybody on the Steelers, because I watched Herbert not even play that great, but still carve them up when it mattered. That's why I just don't trust their quarterback play whatsoever. Did you see this? I don't know. I sometimes lose track of stats we've tossed up there, but I see Pomp quote tweeting this. This is from a Ben Fennel.
Oh, is this about Jameis Winston?
Listen to this, Donnie. This is what this is like the wildest stat imaginable.
This stat that you're about to read
is an all-timer.
I wish I had at the start of the show, because it's exactly why I was so adamant about why they lost yesterday and why I'm so sick of watching Mike Tomlin force his offense to play the same way every game, every week, every season.
Yeah.
So please read it.
This is from Ben Fennell. The Steelers did not complete a pass over 20 air yards in the month of November. Four games. 0 for 11. They only took 11 of those shots. Two INTs. Jameis Winston completed five such passes yesterday against Detroit. Yesterday. That is a horrifying stat. That is the biggest indictment of like what Mike Tomlin is trying. He is trying to win with the closest thing you'd ever see in the NFL to a service academy offense. He's trying to win in a way that is not too dissimilar from what the Broncos did with Tim Tebow. Functionally speaking.
Pony, what year was it, like 2021, or was it maybe the I think it was like 21, like the year after, the offseason after Ben was done. Was that the big push for Jameis?
By me?
Yeah.
No, I still wanted him when Ben was here, because I wanted him to back up Ben and then become the starting quarterback.
Because I really do wish we got that at some point. Jameis Winston having to play in Mike Tomlin's offense or on Mike Tomlin's
team. But
that
was before we thought Mike Tomlin was so risk averse that he basically told his quarterbacks, not named Ben Roethlisberger, that they weren't allowed to throw the forward pass.
Mike would run out onto the field and leap at him the way we saw Troy Polamalu do to quarterbacks.
He better
when
wrap
Jameis
him up.
Was about to take a snap.
His entire beard would be white by the end of the year with Jameis.
If
as
Mike's
his
trying to bring Jameis down, though, he better make sure he wraps him up, because Jameis showed a little run after catch ability too. Can he play wide receiver too?
And you see him pass thrown by
Gunnar Olszewski,
the Gunner.
Yep.
One of the best plays in the NFL all year. Just so stupid and so perfect for who was involved there. Yeah.
I think you made a very good point at the beginning of the show. Believe it or not. When you
stings a little bit, but I went after Donnie, so it turned about his fair play.
They've had way worse losses, but this one really seems to stick in people's craw. It's a 3-point loss on the road with a backup quarterback.
As a 3-point underdog to a team that improved to 8-3. It feels awful. Like, I don't know what
and you score 28 points.
Yeah, your offense scores 21, but yeah, it's not like to look at the game on its face. I said it feels like an inflection point with fans. To look at the game on its face, you would in no way, shape, or form think that that was the case.
And they, like, if you look at the box score from the game and go, like,
it doesn't look like the Steelers got thoroughly outplayed.
No.
It looks like it was an evenly matched game that came right down to the wire.
Two takeaways apiece, both teams. The Steelers had the ball longer, the Steelers had more total yards of offense. They ran the ball way better than the Bears.
5.2 yards per carry. They stopped the Bears' very good running game, by and large. They kept them under 100 yards by one, and they held them to 4 yards a carry. Caleb Williams did not, like, dice them up to a degree that we've seen great quarterbacks do in the past. But it coming out of it, I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's this way. It feels like everyone finally decided at once that they are just sick and tired of this bleep, and they don't want to watch Mike Tomlin's fingerprints all over a team anymore.
412-928-9370. Let's go to Tom in Oakdale. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. If I wasn't frustrated before, after that Winston stat you just said, oh, my goodness.
Yep. True story.
It's all-time bad.
It's unbelievable. So I have an analogy. Just bear with me for a second. So I look at Tomlin as like a kid who has all these cool toys to play with, but they're using them wrong. Like, you see a kid over there playing house or school with cool action figures. You have a tight end that any other coach would be chucking the ball to all day yesterday that no one wants to tackle. You have Watt, who you just put him in the same spot every time. You never move him around. You had Pickens, and you threw combat jump balls to, and then another coach gets them, and they know how to use them. And then you have DK, and you're throwing combat balls to him, jump ball 50-50s, and he's never been that guy in his life.
No, DK is a great in-breaking route guy.
And a run-by-you guy.
Or a run-by-you and throw it as far as you can and let him run under it.
Yep.
It's the two things he does.
It's just unbelievable. The problem, that's why the loss yesterday is crazy.
The problem is that, like, Tom, I feel like this is maybe you helped me kind of distill my opening point. You are getting another case both with Pickens doing what he's doing in Dallas, but especially Metcalf not having any kind of real impact right now for this team. Mike takes whatever pieces, or as you put it, all these toys he has, and just imprints. It's like, you have to play it my way. It doesn't matter what you're good at. You're on my team. You have to play it my way.
And I think, Tom, I think you made a,
that's a good point.
Great analogy. He wanted Aaron Rodgers, I don't think because of the winning pedigree, because Aaron Rodgers' first career has been the best quarterback ever at not turning the ball over.
To the point where people criticized him for it in the playoffs on his MVP, later MVP years. Why is he going so conservative?
That's why Mike wanted him.
Mike probably saw that and lit a cigarette.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There's never been panic here. We've been Pittsburgh Steeler long enough to know we've been behind, down in the division and up, and it's a natural ebb and flow of the season, and very confident in our guys to keep fighting and end up on top.
Mason Rudolph, even though he's probably going to go back to the bench here, per what Mike Tomlin said after the game about Aaron Rodgers, not wanting to make it sound like there's any panic with the Ravens now tied with them and technically being in first place, the Steelers giving back this enormous lead in the AFC North, and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You know, if I had Donnie's take on the game, though, I don't think I would be as down in the dumps today, because Donnie's going to come on the air at 6 and do his PM team overtime show before Monday Night Football. And I heard him earlier with Starkey and Pomp when they dragged him in and wanted to break things down with him. Mm-hmm. And he said, if Aaron Rodgers plays, they absolutely win. So a lot of the things we're bitching about, if Rodgers plays and they win, and they're still in first place, and they just beat a third first-place team on the road, it's like all sunshine and rainbows here today, man. And if you think Aaron Rodgers makes that kind of difference, you're probably getting him back for this Buffalo game. So you feel like you've got your guy again. And if he's capable of going to Chicago and winning, And he showed you he was capable of beating the Colts and beating the Patriots earlier this year. Then maybe you do have a glass half full take on them moving forward.
I think there's two reasons I don't share that take with Donnie. I just don't think that Rudolph was bad. But, I mean, I think largely Rodgers has not been good either for a while now.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But,
I mean, if they beat the Bears, are we saying they can't win a playoff game? I don't think we are, because we've got another piece of evidence that says they can go someplace and beat. I know it's not a great team. They've got a negative point differential, but they've found a way to win games. And you also haven't won there at all in your history outside of one game in almost 100 years,
I think the bigger problem than that is it feels like right now what's happening to them and what has happened lately to them after the 4-1 start, they're 2-4 since. They have gone through these swoons like last year at the end of the season, and it feels like that swoon is happening much earlier this year, which suggests with the remaining schedule on paper, flawed though the Bills and Ravens are right now, and even the Lions, who won yesterday, had to pee blood to do it, it feels like it's going to get worse. Like if they had gotten to this point even at 8-3, let's say, right, and they have a chance to get to 10, 11 wins if things go their way, all right, I'd understand saying, hey, maybe they can, you know, they can figure something out here. But it feels like the bottom is very much actively falling out regardless of who plays quarterback. Everything I look at, the two games they've won, they figured out the Bengals, good job, and they had a +5 turnover game against the Colts, to their credit, and had to still hang on weirdly to win the game.
They'd be 7-4 if they won this game. Still in first place.
And probably all I could squint and give them is 9-8 for sure. I think they would beat the Dolphins and probably should beat the Browns on the road, even though they go there and it's a house of horrors for them.
The whole debate about what actually went down and why Rodgers did or didn't play and the true story behind that, I hope somebody in Steelers media finds out about it. And what information they get on it is actually accurate and not just what the team wants out there.
Well, isn't the perception going to be that if what they get is pretty negative in tone, that it's not what the team wants out there? If you find out that there was like a nasty blow up that they've tried to contain behind closed doors, then that would suggest that there is real trouble here.
And I don't think if Rodgers felt like he could have played and they denied him of that and he's seething about it, he doesn't have a filter anymore. He's 41 years old. He's going to the Hall of Fame. It'll get out.
He'd blow it up.
It'll get out there.
Which leads me to believe
that he was
honestly okay with
that it. That it was a harmonious decision.
Who was it that called in and said maybe he just didn't, like you brought it up too, but just other people said the same thing, like didn't want to risk sullying things in Chicago, wanted to give it an extra week because he wasn't positive he could really go and play hurt and be himself. Kind of holds some water the more I think about it.
I think going back to the Chargers game, he just really has not looked like
Aaron Rodgers. That was when the business decision started for sure.
And I think even some of his reactions to things on the field make me think he's starting to question himself more than ever before. Like, I think this ultimate confidence and swagger that maybe Aaron Rodgers had for 99% of the year, 99% of his career is starting to get chipped away. You know, like look at, for example, last year, and I know the Jets stink.
So this would basically just be another way of saying father time has finally arrived for him.
You know, like I know the Jets stink, but he's a good enough quarterback still at this point at his age where if he's matched up against a bad team, his brain and his body can still get the job done.
You're saying like old Peyton Manning, basically?
Yeah, but to expect him to be like the driving force, but
he has to be a complimentary player.
Like he was riding the bus. He wasn't driving it when they beat the Colts here.
Yeah, he was a compliment. Dude, they didn't even come close to 300 yards of offense in that
game. Same thing with the New England game. I mean, great drive at the beginning of the game and then a big one at the end to seal it.
Yeah, big boy drive.
But that
picking your spots.
There's still another like 55 minutes of the game that he wasn't very good in, including that Robert Spillane interception.
I just want to know, maybe I'm creating a straw man, but I don't think I am. Just judging by social media, it just does feel like all at once, finally, people are sick of what's happening here. And I wonder why that is after that game.
Here's Rob in Carnegie. Hello, Rob.
Yeah, Chris, you're spot on. We're fed up, not just about this game, but, you know, going back for the last basically decade here, you know, deducing the franchise to hoping to just win a playoff game now. You know, can we make the playoffs? Can we win a playoff game, let alone get back to the Super Bowl and add number 7 to what used to be considered the greatest franchise in the history of the NFL? And it starts at the top down, you know. It starts with Mr. Rooney entrusting the franchise with Coach Tomlin forever until Coach Tomlin decides to quit. It starts with Coach Tomlin hiring a mediocre offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith, who has us running this JV offense from the 1960s without a consistent running attack. Has everybody here in Pittsburgh clamoring for a number 2 receiver. Well, the way DK's playing out there looking soft, it looks like we need a number 1 receiver. They put up on the CBS graphic yesterday, 10 players to catch a touchdown. It's because we have absolutely zero consistent pass-catching playmakers. We have
Rob,
a
part of the problem
bridge
is,
rule.
Rob, part of the problem is they've tried to build this team like on the back of a $160 million defense.
Yeah.
And that defense routinely is getting peppered.
We just got a text in from Eric who wants to know if you'll finally admit if the George Pickens trade was a bad one.
I mean, I'm kind of going to say the same thing I've been saying. I don't think he would be doing what he's doing here, what he's doing there, here.
Yep.
And I have to just continue to fall back on, like, in some way, can I just acknowledge that, yes, he's been so overwhelmingly good there that it looks bad for them now that they did this? Sure, but it looks way worse that they, like, did not have a structure around him, did not have an offense, any of those things that like almost necessitated trading him, and they send him to a place that we all usually laugh at, Dallas. What a joke that is all the time, like how dysfunctional they are. But because they have a good offense and a very good quarterback right now, he's thriving. Like, it's just, it's a very weird spot. I get why people want me to admit it, but like, does anybody think he'd have 1,054 receiving yards
here?
No,
but I think the other part of this is that obviously is true, but I don't think when people are talking about Pickens, it's said enough. If they jettison him and then they find a guy to bring in shortly after that, all right, well, we got our George Pickens replacement. We've got a bona fide number 2 wide receiver in here. We've got someone to pair with DK Metcalf. We're cool.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They didn't even find like a good number 3 wide receiver. They've brought in Scotty Miller and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who can't get off the practice squad. And they're relying on Calvin Austin, who can't get lined up properly at the end of a game. And Roman Wilson, who was invisible again yesterday. Those are the plan B options.
Their best offensive player is a third down back.
Yeah.
And in a wildly oversized, to the point it's almost funny, tight end, who they thought would be primarily a blocker, but like hits people when he has the football and he's running with it. That's it. That's what they've
got. I
mean,
a lot of these trades in sports are evaluated through, okay, when you move this guy out, who did you either have ready to replace him, or who did you go out and get to replace the guy, and maybe he does better? And that's where the Steelers come up way short here. There wasn't, like...
Because I don't think they felt like they needed it. They felt like they would figure it out.
I'm watching all kinds of NFL games late afternoon. You know who caught a big touchdown pass in the fourth quarter yesterday? Jacoby Myers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got injuries. They gutted out a win. He came up. He came through with them. What did they give up for him? 4th and 6th round pick? I don't know. I also find the story there very specious. That the GM there was so in Vegas was so nice to him that he said, hey, you can pick between Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, man. I don't know. Has anybody nationally reported that? Or is that just something that Omar Khan told Steelers reporters to get fans off his back? You'd think that's a pretty like spicy story. You'd think a Glazer or a Rappaport or a Pellicero or somebody or Graziano or like Fowler would drop that nugget in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Get this. This guy didn't have a no trade clause, but the GM there pretty much gave him
just
one.
Did him a favor.
I just threw my pen there as an act of...
You threw your pen. I can't get emotionally angry. I'm academically angry. It's like watching something that's a lab experiment going, wow, that's not working.
Doesn't have like a 15-letter word that is the definition of academically angry. Aren't you, Donnie? Like there's some...
I don't think there is a word for that.
Why don't you invent one like Joe did with increnculant? But increnculant doesn't get thrown around anymore. Have you noticed that? I feel like he's retired it.
Yeah, he hasn't used it a ton.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
I think he feels like it jumped the shark when they made a song about it.
Who uses what less? Joe using Increnculant or the Steelers offense using the middle of the field?
I think we all know the answer there.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fri-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, it is time for PM Team Professors. We've talked around Mason Rudolph today. Let's grade him first. Donnie, starting with you.
Who's first here?
You.
You, Mason.
D plus. I mean, he, beyond like a completion percentage, he did not play.
You didn't think he played well enough to win?
No. And if Kaboom wants to call in again and argue that, he can. But
how did he do in that argument with Starkey on the air? I didn't hear it. I just was told about it. Who won it? If you were
Joe.
Yeah.
Did we get like a listen here, big boy, from Joe?
Was it close?
Anything like that?
I thought Joe won pretty decisively.
Was it good-natured, or were they legitimately upset at each other?
I couldn't really tell that over the... Because I heard it like everybody else did driving. Oh, I think
I can
in here.
I can guess the sense of each man without having heard it. Joe was probably getting like heated, and Kabali sounded like quasi-disinterested. Like he was just taking that big wooden spoon and stirring that pot.
Kaboom was more loud and clear over the phone than I think I've ever heard him before.
What do you mean by that?
Sometimes there's a little mumbling.
Yeah.
Oh,
a little
okay.
bit too.
So he was speaking very. He was
that's
enunciating his
that's
words.
That's how passionate he was.
We know he gets fired
about
up
for
Mason.
This. But you know what I do love about Joe and Chris? Obviously, you working with him for years noticed this when he takes the glasses off. That's almost like when Kurt Angle would undo the straps in the ring. That's the same feeling I get. Like,
now
all right,
he means business.
Business is about to pick up. Joe just ripped the glasses off his face.
He didn't do that as much when I would argue with him, because if we were going back and forth and I would say something that he really didn't like, he would just shake the fist at the computer. He would do this. Like, I can't really – this is a bit for YouTube. He would, like, contort his face and go like he was trying to get – constipation taken care of, and then I knew I was in for it, because then he'd go after me personally.
I'd give him a C, and the reason why I'm giving him a more generous grade than Donnie is because I do think I have to take into account what options he had, like what the game plan was, what kind of passing plays were called around him, the routes, the schemes, the schematics, all those things. And I dock him because I thought the 2-minute drill at the end was just an abomination. Even if the routes are designed to throw the ball that short in the middle of the field, he's got to know better to not do that. You know, the turnovers with him don't bother me as much as they do some other people. And I'm not saying this to be a Mason Rudolph stan. I do think he's got to throw the ball and lead DK Metcalf. So that's my pet peeve or gripe with that one. But I didn't think, some people were saying, what a horribly thrown ball. I did not feel that way. Like, I think you expect big athletic wide receivers to go up and jump. Does George Pickens make that play if he actually cares?
I don't think it's an interception if Pickens is out there, if he's trying for the ball. Roman Wilson also did a better job of keeping.
That was a worse play by Rudolph, I thought.
I know, but Roman Wilson, to the point, Roman Wilson made sure that ball wasn't a pick because he fought better for it.
Right. True. Like, I actually would dock him more for that. If I'm like PFF and I'm grading throws, I thought the one to Wilson was worse.
So you're giving him a C?
I thought he was better than this. He just played like a garden variety backup quarterback yesterday.
I'm giving him a D minus, and I'll tell you why. I have praised him at times when he's gotten the chance to play. I've said he's had much better pocket awareness and confidence. I know they left Darnell Washington out there to block Montez Sweat, which, as much as we all like Darnell Washington, is not a good decision. You've still got to have that clock going off in your head. One of the biggest plays Rudolph made that got wiped out off the board was Nimble Mason, 22 yards. You're the quarterback. If you realize that the tackle's uncovered, you're allowed to say to Austin, hey, get up there.
Yeah.
Cover him.
I know.
Like, that's basic backup quarterback. Know the offense, know situation, don't get the team in stupid spots that are like mental error related.
But can I stick
stuff coming from him? And then here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Before you fire back.
Yep.
D minus because I've seen the guy actually play well enough in these situations on the road even.
Yeah.
Rise above your crap surroundings. Your head coach is an offensive eunuch. Rise above it. Do something.
I have to defer. I guess I could have asked, like, texted a Bostic or a Gradkowski or somebody that I'm friends with who played quarterback. Is it really part of the job, though, to see if your wide receivers are lined up in the right place?
I don't know. You see quarterbacks directing
every play.
You see quarterbacks directing traffic though
the
time. No,
I know, but that's different from making sure that they like know the basic rules in a given situation.
I understand that, but I feel like you can see if you're him that Austin and the other receiver who was on the bottom of the screen there, I forget at the time, are way off the line of scrimmage, and that Fautanu's the last man on the end.
Yeah,
I feel like you can just see that. Because, like, we always see, also, it's about just being where you're supposed to be. We always see quarterbacks, like, telling a guy to go in motion if they maybe forgot to motion across the formation.
Yep.
I don't know, man. That's like, all you're doing is studying. I want you to get that little stuff right.
Sure. I do think, though, like, we'd be lying if we said they haven't had an illegal shift or an illegal formation with Rodgers as their quarterback this year, because they have.
I understand that, but we're asking to grade this game.
Oh, I know.
I think a B-minus version of Rudolph probably wins. Like, there's enough plays in the margins there that they win.
Donnie, what grade do you give the NFL on CBS yesterday for their presentation of
goodness.
This game? And that includes the announcers' performance.
So I think the announcers are the only thing that saves them because I still thought that, I mean, Ian's always good, and J.J. Watt, as we've said all year, is better than we thought he would be. So they're the only reason they don't get a failing grade. I'll go D-. I don't know if it was just me. I didn't know if it was just me. I didn't know if it was because of the big difference between the sun and the shade on the field. But I felt like any deep ball, it was anybody's guess where the hell it was going, because the guy on the high 50 cam had no idea what was going on. We come back randomly, and Kenneth Gainwell's running down the sideline, and I'm thinking, what the hell is happening?
I thought that
here?
Was like a replay of something else randomly that had happened.
How about when kind of muffed the kickoff return and the angle?
Oh my God!
That's one of the worst camera shots I've ever seen.
They have the robot sky cam shooting right into the sun on a kick return for Kenneth Gainwell. You can't see a thing.
I'm going to grade this.
And then they decide, hey, you know what? Let's just go back to it anyway, every single kickoff.
So, you know how when you were actually in school, you'd have parts of, like, maybe a final, and they were differently weighted, right? So if you did really well on, like, an easier part, it didn't matter as much. Like, maybe the essay portion was harder, and so you had more weight to it. I'm going to give Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt an A, because I've really come to enjoy Watt's commentary for the most part, and they're pretty funny together, and they play off each other well, and Ian's one of the best. However, for this game and this game only, even though that's such a fundamental part, I'm weighting that much less than I'm weighting all the other stuff, like the stuff in the truck. F- for the camera work. Like, we're in this little hybrid commercial, we're doing a quick 30-second ad. What on God's green earth is happening in that TV truck?
Yeah, it seemed Mickey Mouse. I give it a D-.
And that should be, you would think, one of their best production crews working with their two team.
I actually was getting ready to fire off a take in the second half of the game where I was about to say I would actually this year, or not this year because they don't have it, but the next time they have it, I would give Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt the Super Bowl over Nance and Romo.
I heard Romo was back in his bag in a bad way from people who were watching that game.
I think they're a better broadcast team than those two.
Well, we get the number one team on Sunday.
Yep. But I do think J.J. Watt, for the first time all year, did expose his brother loyalty blind spot. They're getting no pressure on the quarterback after that strip sack. That's his position. That's his bread and butter. Where was the analysis on that?
True.
Where was the, like, oh my God, they haven't touched this guy in the second half? You're watching it.
Do you think
you played the position? Tell us why they're not getting any pressure.
Do you think it's partly, though, that, like, his brother had already made the big play, and so he figures, all right, he kind of did his part in his mind. Like, he made a huge game-turning play. Yeah.
No discussion of it.
Yeah, no. I'll admit, that was curious. But the Gainwell kickoff play is one of the most... I'll even forgive them, Donnie, for picking up Gainwell's long run like halfway through, honestly. I'll live with that. Whatever was... Well, only because I couldn't see a ball on the kickoff. I had no idea what was happening.
Okay, so it wasn't just me that anytime there was a kickoff or anytime that Rudolph did let it fly, I'm thinking, like, I have no idea where the hell the ball was at.
I had zero idea. They're like, uh-oh, and Gainwell misplays it. I'm like, what? Where's the ball? All I see is just, like, what looks like haze and sunshine on the screen.
I felt like what my grandmother's probably felt like when I saw Gainwell running down the sideline randomly just out of a commercial. Like, where did this come from?
That happened in a Steelers game a very long time ago. When I was watching in the 90s back in Three Rivers, Ernie Mills, I think they were playing the Patriots, and they had like another issue like that where they were late to the play, and Mills just catches like an 80-yard touchdown and is running completely in frame with nobody else there. My whole family thought they were running a highlight from like 5 years prior.
That was PM team professors. You know what else I thought they did a sloppy job with? It was almost as if Gene Steratore was off taking a dump, because it took them so long to get clarification on why the Steelers were charged that injury timeout when there wasn't a running clock. And they're in the 2-minute drill and they're getting close to more plays being run because the clock's running and the ball was thrown in bounds. And Ian's like, all right, Gene, come in here and clean this up. And it's like, I don't want to hear from Gene right now. I want you to describe what the hell is happening on the field. The time to do that with Gene was like 3 minutes ago. Where was Gene?
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.